Yeah, boy, it's episode 161, and this is the Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast. The Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast is the official podcast of thefantasyfootballauction.com, the internet's only website dedicated to fantasy football auctions. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we're at Fantasy Auction. We've got a great show for you tonight. Tonight, we're going to take a look at some early nomination strategies for your auction. We are also kind of recording this live from Japan. I'm just going to pop on and do the intro for the boys, and then I'm going to get out of here and let them do their business. But of course, our analysts, they're always here. He is recovering from a week-long golf trip without me because I traveled overseas and then banging some balls in the bush in Fortune Bay. Blister, how's it going tonight?
Very good. I've pretty much given up with golf, both playing it and fantasy golf, because they both suck. So I'm really going to concentrate on football for the next 10 to 12 months and, you know, put golf in my past.
Good answer.
So there.
And he is drinking a blue out of spite for my appearance on the Ross Tucker podcast. Slim, how's it going tonight?
It's going great. It's not spite at all. I actually enjoyed the taste thoroughly.
I did love that it created banter on Twitter, though, and then Kiwi comes on and has my back on the Foster's comment. It was pretty good.
Yeah, no, it was awesome that you guys got into a conversation about, in our area of Canada. And that's what I was hoping you were going to say. The beer types in Canada, to me, it is so dependent on geography. Different areas have their own signature, like where we grew up. I feel like Labatt Blue is kind of the staple. Every dad in the 80s.
Yeah, that's right.
Drank that. The fridge was full of it. That or Wildcat, probably. but, you know, if you go 400 miles east or west of where we grew up, it's a completely different beer. Right?
Drinking club in Winnipeg? Just kidding.
Molson Canadian in Thunder Bay in Winnipeg. What? It's just like, I don't even know back then. Kokanee, now maybe, whatever. Completely different.
My brother-in-laws were upset that I made the comment. I'm sitting on their deck at 7:15 in the morning doing the podcast, dismissing blue as the beer when they had a cooler of it sitting on the deck that I was choosing not to drink. So, but anyways, that's
how
it went.
You're a snob, man.
Yeah, you're a snob. Hey, when I grew up, that's the same thing. Growing up for me.
From some guy in Calgary who knew I was there and went, oh, Big Rock, had to figure out I was there because I was shouting out Big Rock. So yeah. I was just playing the territory.
Yeah, well, when I grew up, like Slim was saying, blue was like, that was what my grandpa and all my uncles drank. That was the only kind of beer there was. Everything else was awful. Yeah. And then when they started coming out with cans, oh, I can't drink it out of a can. Like, that's disgusting. They're cans. They're no good. They're gross. And it's just, so it had to be blue. It had to be in a bottle. And there had to be a lot of them. And things have changed so much. Even some of my uncles have switched to Bud Light now. So it's quite a change.
Oh, wow. Well, I've had some Sapporo here. I have some in the fridge, so that's what I've been. I mean, that's probably cliche too, being in Japan and drinking Sapporo. But I guess there's a local brewery here. It's Kirin or something that I'm supposed to check out. So I'll try some of that tonight. I'll see if I can duty free some stuff and bring it home. Anyways, guys, I'll let you guys talk about nominations and all that stuff, and I'm going to go get ready for the rest of the day as it is only 10:30 in the morning here.
Well, good luck there, Mr. Miyagi.
Hey, we are going to Okinawa in a couple of days, so I'll give you a shout-out from there, too. That's where Mr. Miyagi was from, Okinawa. anyways,
last on. Listen to some Steel Panther.
Listen to that. I will wax on, but I will not wax off, if that's okay.
Yeah, you will.
Anyways, okay. I'll give you the cock the hammer, and we'll go from there. So, if you guys are ready, then I'm ready. Let's cock the hammer. It's time for action. See you, boys.
Later, Bucks. Thanks.
Bex.
All right.
Hey, Fungo.
All right.
It's just me and you.
I know.
All right. Everything's for sale, everybody. Everything's for sale. The Boston Way, podcast is for sale, website's for sale. First person with $10 million, it's all yours. Come on up. Or a reasonable offer.
And I'm going to apologize to everybody out there because it's on me now to record the podcast and get them out. I have zero podcast editing experience, so I'm not going to try to do any editing. What you hear is what you're going to get. So I apologize for the next few weeks until Fox comes back and he can add little sound bites and do his little gimmicky things that he likes to do that he gets a little bit of chuckles out of behind the scenes.
He does.
So, yeah, no, he enjoys that stuff, and that's just not me. I'm not going to learn how to do it. They don't pay me enough to learn how to do it, as you just mentioned. So we'll just talk.
Let's talk about the auction.
Yeah, so I think we kind of talked earlier today and about some ideas, and I think in being on social media the last week, one of the things that I was getting from people was they were getting ready to start planning some different strategies. And I think a lot of people, they want to plan one strategy. And before we get into this, I want to say to people, and we'll get into this, but don't have one strategy. There is not one way that it's just going to work out. That's the beauty of an auction draft. It's fluid. It's dynamic. It's going to have to change. I recommend having at least three on paper somewhere on a spreadsheet that you can go to that are fairly different, that you're comfortable with. In case you find yourself going towards one of those, you say, okay, I'm kind of pot committed here. How am I going to make this work? And then you can start tweaking things amongst that budget. People ask all the time for, can you give me a budget that's for zero RB? Well, yes, we can give you something that could work, but every draft is different. So it's hard for us to say, here's this one budget and this is going to get you the win this year. That's impossible. There's a million different variations. So it's hard when you ask us that. It's hard for us to give you some concrete answer. We're going to try and do the best we can tonight, even though it's early, and we'll get into it more and more. One thing I will also say before I get into letting Blister have the mic, I think tonight we're going to focus a lot more on players and tier groups of where you should be getting, and less on the prices, because one, the prices are going to change for some players a lot, but we do have some ballparks right now. So I think we're going to talk more about the areas of players that you might want to be looking at. And we'll get into some dollar values as well, but we'll save that for kind of later on this summer when we get a much better handle on the prices of certain players and see where the movements are with injuries and training camp reports, et cetera, all that stuff. So, sorry to take up so much of your time. So Blister, I guess I'm going to throw it to you, and I want to ask you one question to kick it off. What one position do you think is going to be the most integral to drafters in terms of how they budget?
Well, I have a feeling this year it's going to go back to the running back. I have a feeling people are going to spend big on the running back. I felt last year that the shift had went to wide receiver, and people kind of, you know, devalued the running back. But a lot of the wide receivers that guys went after and spent some good money on let them down last year. So I just think that they're going to go to running back first and maybe look for one good receiver and then figure that they'll find value later on. So I guess, you know, if that's the way, I mean, the thing is, though, how many, you know, number one running backs or really expensive running backs do you see out there? Like, I think there's only, you know, there's the top three, you know, in Johnson, Lev, and Zeke. And then,
you might argue too, right?
Yeah,
Zeke might not even be in there anymore.
Zeke
right?
might be suspended for a couple or more, and who knows? And then after that, you got, you know, it's debatable. Do you put maybe McCoy, Gordon, Freeman, Howard, maybe Jai, Fournette? Who knows? Put some of those guys into it, but you know, those are all guys that people would like to have, but I don't think they're going to be willing to spend, you know, $50-$60 on. I think Zeke, Bell, and DJ, you know, they could spend easily $60-$65 on them in the auction. So I think it really drops off a lot after that. So it's kind of an interesting year because, you know, at the end of the day, there's going to be, you know, there's still going to be great receivers out there. And it's going to be really, it's going to be a year, I think, that you really need to be, even, I should use one of Beckett's words, hyper alert. Have to be hyper alert. He used that on the Ross Tucker pod there the other day with Evan, Silva, and Ross. But I think that this is one of those times where, you know, I was making a couple of notes when we were going to talk about it and thinking about some of my strategy and I guess tying into your question with a long run-on answer. Sorry, Slim. The end of the day, because of this fact that I think they're really going to value that running back, but there's really not a lot of, after those top three, I think it drops off. So then people might not want to pay as much for them. So how are you going to get people to spend their money? And that's what it all comes down to, because value depends at the end of your auction or what you're drafting is. It's value to you, but it you know, if people have their roster filled and they have a bunch of money left, well, they're going to just start snapping up guys still. So you want to, I think this is going to be a really important year for getting guys out there that are going to cost money that you have no interest in, really more so than ever, just to try to get more money spent so that if you think that you can get yourself a DJ and start off with a, you know, Mike Evans, but then backfill all your rest of your, you know, receivers and running backs with good value, you got to make sure people spend on them so that you're the only one that can afford Stefon Diggs or Willie Snead or stuff like that down the road.
What do you think? I agree with you on the running backs. I think this is the position where somebody has to ask themselves, where do they feel comfortable building a team? It's easy to say, yeah, I want David Johnson, I want Le'Veon Bell. Yeah, sure, of course. Who wouldn't want those guys? The problem, how much are they going to cost? I agree with you, Lister. I think last year we saw RB0 kind of become this in vogue type draft strategy. And maybe it worked for you, maybe it didn't. But I think some people are going to look at how many points Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson scored, Zeke Elliott too. But I'm going to talk on a per game basis. If you look at what they did on a per game basis, they both averaged over 25 points per game in PPR league. No other running back in like the last, what's the number? Almost maybe 10 years. I was just looking it up. 2006, LaDainian Tomlinson did it. Steven Jackson did it. But other than that, I think Jamaal Charles in maybe 2013 was the only other running back to average over 25 points per game on a per game basis. So
yeah. We're
going to look at this and say, oh my God, these two guys scored a shit ton of points, and I want that again. And that's fair. They are elite. The problem is, you know, it was an outlier type of season. Like, RB scoring from those top-end guys was higher than normal. So some people are going to be freaked out to go RB0 again. And I'm just telling people that this could be something that you want to really look at, even more so this year, because more people are going to be against it even than last year, because either they got burned. And that's the thing. At the end of the day, I don't care what strategy you go, you've got to draft the right players. Like, you can't, you need the guys that produce. It doesn't, and you can find them anywhere. They're found at, you know, $5, $10, $30. It's getting on the right ones, though. But I think more people are going to be geared to go to these top running back options. And you're going to see even guys like that are outside of those, you know, top three. We'll still say top three. I still put Zeke in there, I suppose, for now, until we know what suspension he's possibly looking at. But, you know, LeSean McCoy's, Melvin Gordon's, Devontae Freeman's, DeMarco Murray's. To me, those guys are going to be inflated as well, because at least a couple of them, there's going to be a number of people in every draft that are going to be RB obsessed to some extent and are going to want to pay up to get them. And I agree with you, Blister. This might be the year that early, I might throw out LeSean McCoy's name very first. If I had the first nomination, I'd put out a guy like that. I know David Johnson and Bell and Zeke are going to go for a lot. Let's see how much LeSean McCoy goes for. Let's see how much Melvin Gordon goes for. And it's not that I don't like those guys. I just don't know if I want to pay that much. I don't need to pay over $55 to get one of those guys when, you know, and we could talk about this at length, but there's going to be values like Ty Montgomery, Danny Woodhead, maybe Isaiah Crowell, who knows? But there's going to be guys like that, Theo Riddick. Those guys are always going to be there. They're always going to be fairly cheap. So, again, people, that's what you're going to have to decide as a draft pick this year. And
that's right. Will
tell you which way you're going to go.
You know, and I agree with you. Like, one of the strategies someone might want to use is if they want somebody like you know, like Melvin Gordon or Devontae Freeman or DeMarco or somebody like that. Throw them out if you can before David Johnson, Lev Bell, and Zeke Elliott, because people are going to go up so high and they're going to say, well, wait, I'm not going to go higher on Devontae Freeman, you know, 45. I'd rather go 50 on Zeke, so I'm going to save my money and go after Zeke. So it might be a strategy if you can get them out there early, earlier than those guys. I mean, but basically, in all honesty, your first round of your draft, you're probably going to see all three of those guys nominated, you know, so you it's all going to depend on where you sit on that table, because if you want to get one of these other guys, you know, like, for example, David Johnson, Lev Bell, Zeke Elliott, let's say they all are going to probably end up going for 60 or something or more. If you get out guys before them, then there's chances people are going to hold their money to put towards them. But if they're all gone and people were saying, well, I was willing to spend 60 on David Johnson and I think Melvin Gordon's the next best guy, so I have $60 here. I'll spend 58 of it on him. And all of a sudden now the guy that you might have got before they were nominated for 50, which still seems like a lot of money perhaps, or maybe you get him for 47, you know, now he might cost you 58 because those other three guys are gone and somebody, you know, didn't want to spend any more on them. So that's all comes to strategy. Like that's what's so great about auction. Yeah. I mean, not only every auction, every position, every player, depending on who, when, where they're nominated, how much money's left, it's a real, it's a game that you got to be on top of every step of the way.
Yeah, I like where your head's at, and just even I think I might even want to nominate. Maybe I really like Devontae Freeman. I think he could be, you know, RB4, maybe even higher. I've heard some people, you know, really touting Jay Ajayi this year, LeSean McCoy. Like, certain people have their guy. This is if you picked or sorry nominate really early in a draft, maybe it's a good strategy to throw out a guy that you actually like. You know, for example, maybe I really love Melvin Gordon. I don't know if I can ever afford him, but I like him. So that if he is going for a value because the guys that want to spend on running back are saying, fuck this, I'm waiting on what David Johnson's name gets out there or Le'Veon Bell, and all of a sudden Melvin Gordon's going once, going twice at $40, and that's my guy, then 41, I will take him. Boom, slide them over, and I just maybe got a $10 discount because the other heavy hitters that want to go at RB are sitting on their wallets with their mind set, I'm getting one of those top two or three guys or whoever they like as well. So I kind of like that strategy. And again, have a budget ready for that. You know, like have a budget where, for me, I might go in with a budget where I got $60 for RB1. What does the rest of my budget look like? Because maybe somehow I get a guy like that. And hell, if I get Melvin Gordon for 40, all right, I got $20 to move somewhere else. Maybe that means I can spend 30 on my RB2 versus the 10 that I had there before or whatever.
And you know, so, and on that, once we start talking about this, man, I feel like I might be my mother. She can talk, hey, and talk your ear right off. And then I start thinking about stuff, and that's why I got to get out of this stupid golf because it's wasting my time. Anyways, but you know, you think about that, and you look at your list, and if there's an old article on our site somewhere about various running back or various budget strategies where we look at going for a high priced running back. And we have one where we had a, you know, at the time it was a Drew Brees, Jimmy Graham connection. And then another scenario, you know, with high priced receivers. But I mean, even though it's an older article, you could substitute Adrian Peterson for David Johnson for Adrian Peterson, for example. And, you know, but you could look at on our site at our rankings with your updated auction values on there. That'll, you know, we'll always update that. And you can put the new names in there. I'll probably do a new article once I have a few more mock drafts under my belt as well, because I think it's kind of helpful once that's what we're here for, right? We put that stuff together so that people are going into an auction, they can have an idea what teams could look like. But like you say, you got to be flexible and you have to be ready to, you know, if you think about any mock auction that you're doing online or even your real auctions that you're doing online, you know, whether it's ESPN or a Yahoo or whatever site, they always list, you know, according to their numbers, the top running backs basically first, right? So if it's a guy gets computer drafting, boom, those guys are always off the board first. A live auction is the only place where it can really significantly change. Unless you got 12 guys online, you know, and you got kickers still in your league, you know, somebody could throw out a kicker in the first round and just to try to make somebody spend an extra few bucks. And I don't ever recommend that because you want to get people spending money. But in all reality, your online auctions, if you're playing with guys that have very little experience or whatever, they're going to nominate most of the time the next guy up at running back, the next guy up or whatever. So in order to get Jay Ajayi out there and maybe get him for a deal, you have to physically go and nominate them quicker because everyone else is going to see that list. The computers, if it's mock drafting, if it's a real draft, but guys don't show up, they're going to nominate the highest guy up there, and boom, you're going to watch the price run up. So getting guys out there ahead of schedule sometimes is good if that's really who you want.
And that's a great point because it was something I was even just thinking about a little while ago. In most drafts, I don't know what percentage, I don't want to throw one out, but like we've done a lot of auction drafts. How many, even with all the ones we've done, go fairly chalky in terms of the order of picks, especially at the top?
Yep.
Antonio Brown is going early. Gronk is going early, like you said.
There's typically one. There's typically one receiver. Guys are thinking nobody remembers. I remember 1 year it was Larry Fitzgerald. Holy man, Larry Fitzgerald's still there. Like he was the best guy by far that receiver left, you know, and everyone was sitting on what they thought might get him $35 or what they had, you know, at 40. But so many people were waiting on him. There's typically like the running backs, there's not too many sneaky ones. The big names go, receivers, most of the big names go, but because there's so many more, there's always seems to be one. And sometimes there's a tight end. Maybe sometimes there's Gronk or somebody, you know, high end that, oh, I'll still be able to get a top tight end. But everybody knows that if they're alert, if they know what's going on, right? In your live auction, that is. So typically your running backs, they're going to go early and often, but people think they're going to sneak in a receiver down the road that, for half price, and that never happens, but that's the position that happens to.
And you've been in auction drafts for different sports. Even the best way I find to fuck with people's minds is to throw out some obscure player that nobody sitting in that first round, and all of a sudden you nominate
Ricardo Lewis
Baldwin. Well, I'm talking even like the higher end, but you know, say we stick to running backs, you know, DeMarco Murray, here we go. And everybody's like, what the fuck?
DeMarco Murray.
I wasn't expecting that. I'm getting ready to bid on Le'Veon Bell or David Johnson or Zeke. And then they're kind of rattled. They don't know. You'll hear guys going through their notes, clicking on the computer. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. They don't know what to bid because their budget isn't ready for that mid-tier guy. They want to wait and see. Well, I got $55 budget for a top guy. I got to wait and see if I can get that guy before I can start making improvements to – where does a $45 guy fit in? $40. I don't have that on there.
Exactly. So, I honestly think you're been the best, and maybe the best way to get a deal is early or late. Right? Early because you throw it, just like you said, DeMarco Murray, and they're holding $55-$60 for David Johnson, and they're all the names that are out there still. So I'm not going to go anymore. I can't spend $45 and still get David Johnson, so I'm going to let him go. So you might end up getting him for a lot less, and woo, you get a good deal. I feel like that happens a lot. And then the only other time you can really get a great deal is at the end when everybody's got their money spent. So in the middle, there's always that. There's always going to be, like, if you got 12 guys in your league, there's always going to be a couple of guys other than you. They're sitting on a pile of money saying, well, I got to spend it. I got to spend it on somebody. For me, so then all of a sudden you get into bidding war. You thought you might have got, let's just look at the numbers here. Got throw up a receiver.
Well, you know, for example, Fitzgerald is a prime example of that. He's there when the top guys are gone. You've got a couple guys who have waited at the position that have a boatload of money. And if it just so happens that two guys have Larry Fitzgerald ranked similarly in a tier or something, you'll see fireworks. I feel like last year, wasn't it Keenan Allen, you and I?
Oh,
in our home draft, we went back and forth. I can't even remember. I want to say maybe you want, I can't remember. But the price went up, and I think we both liked them. People were bigger on big name guys that we knew that you could wait a little bit and probably find values. And then we both just so happened to want Keenan Allen. And maybe we were thin at wide receiver at this point. I can't remember that. Yeah. But it's going to happen. If you can scoop that a little bit, go for it.
Yeah. Keenan, I think I had Sammy Watkins, and that didn't go so well for me. But, you know.
Sorry.
No, that's a good point. Like I was saying, another thing I was thinking about when we were talking about it, I think back to auctions in the past, and you know, I remember having good teams with good depth, like great, you know, good starters. But when I say good starters, I'm talking, you know, $15, $18 starters, and all of a sudden on my bench I got $15, $18 bench players, and I have all this depth. And what I found was, you got to have some kind of stud to kind of quarterback your team. You know what I mean? Like having a bunch of those guys at mid price, $15, $18. I just found that I needed that one stud that you could kind of rely on week in and week out. And you know, you might not be able to get the most expensive guy, but having a balanced budget, to me, it's never worked out wonderfully. Like if I look at these prices, Golden Tate at 15 and Larry Fitz at 16 and Willie Snead at 11, Julian Edelman at 19, a lot of nice receivers, but it's nice to pair two or three of those guys with P.Y. Hilton perhaps, or a Julio or Odell or Antonio, because you know, you want your money in your starting lineup as much as you can. And I just figure that when I spread it out too much, it just I like having a try to have a kind of a stud, a top two tier guy at each position if I could.
Well, here's the thing I find for me with balanced, and I've done balanced before. Sometimes it's by accident. You want top guys, they're going for more than you want. So then instead of spending $45 on this receiver, you get a guy for $35. Now the money just keeps getting pushed down, and you kind of get pooped a little bit that way. But I just find with balanced, one, like you said, it's nice. You need some horses. You need big-time producers to hit. And what if I feel like a savvy drafter, you can spend a lot of your money early. You'll still be able to find the values later that are cheap, that are high upside. Like last year, Isaiah Crowell went for $3 in our draft. If there's guys that you have researched and did some reading over the summer, you should have a list of these cheap guys that you like with upside, that you can just load up your bench on. And if two of those guys hit, you're laughing. And the other point being is you have to play waivers. I mean, I don't care what league you're in, waivers is integral to winning.
It is.
I don't know if you could show me a champion in any league who did not hit on the waivers. And maybe that just means hitting on one big player, picked up the right player at the right time, or he was just good all year on streaming the right tight ends and defenses and whatever. But maybe you hit that Terrell Pryor one time, and all of a sudden, hey, there you go. You got a wide receiver too for nothing. But if you can spend big and then make a couple of those little moves later, whether you pick one guy up off of waivers and two of your flyers hit, you're probably going to stomp most people on a weekly level. So that's one reason why I don't necessarily like balance, because I think I can find value, and I, for most of my leagues, am pretty diligent on waivers. So I'm pretty confident in those two things, where I think it allows me some kind of margin for error, building a really shitty bench, or cheap bench, I should say, and loading up on some big name studs, and just crossing my fingers, I'll make the right move later.
Yeah, I 100% agree. You have to always play the waiver wire, and there's always guys that come out to waiver wire. Like every year, all the research, not just we do, but the hundreds or thousands of analysts that are out there, they research and research, and they have their names, and every year some guy emerges, a couple guys that emerge out of the training camps or out of early on and just take off that nobody was even talking about. So that always happens. So you got to be on those guys when they pop, and get them on your bench, and don't hesitate to do that, or get them on your squad. Because that's what wins. And there's always inevitably injuries. Like I was saying, with the start of training camps coming, it's going to be interesting, because there's guys in our rankings that are going to be X'd out of there before, you know, another month rolls by, because they're going to be done for the season with an injury. I hate to say it, but it happens every year. There's going to be guys moving up depth charts, guys moving down depth charts. I mean, it's a fun time, and it's kind of a busy time for everybody, because it's not only the drafting, but all the upkeep to the site and everything, and all your rankings and tiers, because there's going to be tons of changes coming up.
Yeah,
hey, I had a question too on Twitter. We could talk about that. It's a good question for auction. You want to go?
Segue.
What's that?
Yep, let's do it.
Okay, Adam Alheiser had tweeted out and asked, at what price would you have to pull the trigger on buying Gronk or Reed if that's not part of your draft plan? So basically, yeah, you know, going into a draft and you don't assume you're going to get Gronk or Reed because you don't want to spend big on a tight end. And I said, well, you know, obviously it depends on you need a little more about your league. Like, is it, you know, 12 team? Is it PPR? Is it tight end premium? Is it super flex? You know what? But you know, it just assuming, you know, let's assume it's a 12 team PPR standard league. You start in one tight end and one quarterback and everything like that. I said for me, like, because there's injury concerns with both these guys, you know, Reed is probably one concussion away from retirement. And Gronk, you know, he's in and out of the lineup too. But I said, you know, if it was under 20, I would probably still be in the bidding on him. Like, I think you probably could get Reed for just under 20, and I think Gronk, no chance of getting him for under 20. So, but I mean, if you see a good value, like, that's why you got to go in and be flexible. You know, you might go in saying, you know, I'm spending $6 or $7, I'll get myself Delanie Walker or Zach Ertz or somebody. And all of a sudden, you know, you're bidding with getting Gronk. You know, Gronk's probably, you're thinking Gronk's going to go for 35, and you bid up 18, and all of a sudden, boom, you get him at 19. Well, you know, that's where you got to be flexible. I'll take Gronk. I mean, he's a hell of a player. And then you got to steer the other way. But I think that's kind of where the limit is. I mean, I was looking at Reed's stats last year. He only played 12 games, but he actually led the tight ends in fantasy points per game in PPR scoring, 14.2 fantasy points. I mean, he could be a beast this year. I mean, all their receivers left town. They got a whole new core. He's the only guy that Kirk Cousins has worked with up until, you know, this training camp. So if he could stay on the field for 16, he could easily be your number one tight end next year, and he could put up, you know, distance himself from the pack even. So I mean, I can see the fruit there that's hanging right there in front of you. You want to reach out and grab it because it can be so good, but it's a little scary for me knowing that he could be hurt. I mean, if I got him for the right price, then I'll take a chance and play the waiver wire. But if it's going to cost me too much, then that's going to obviously hurt positions later on. So I said 20. Yeah. That was my cutoff. What do you think about that? So what would you do?
I guess if I really wanted one of those guys, I'd probably set my bar at about $25. I agree with you. I don't think there's any chance you really get Gronk for less than that. I think Reed, you could definitely get for around that price. To me, that's not, I just think tight end is a position that's so deep right now. I don't see the need to have to spend there. I would rather load up on other wide receivers or running backs and things like that. Just, you know, give me Antonio Gates or some kind, and some type of book to Austin Hooper and Jack Doyle as a trio or something like that. And I'll just, I'll stream those guys every week, and it'll cost me less than $10 to get those three guys. And probably collectively, they might finish higher up or very close to Gronk or Reed, like you said, because of all the injuries. And, there's very less risk, or a lot less risk for me. But that's just my need. I mean, if, like I said, if you want that guy, I think 25 is maybe the absolute max I would be looking to spend on either of those guys. But 20, you know, we're in that same kind of ballpark there.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah. Before we go on, I wanted to move to wide receivers because we kind of started at running back. I wanted to just pick your brain on one last thing. I want to just kind of put you on the spot a little bit, I guess. Give me a couple names at RB that you...
At RB?
Yep, at running back that you're seeing or you think are posing pretty big values. I know on Twitter I talked about Ty Montgomery.
Did you? That's the first guy I was going to say.
I ran a Twitter poll because I was curious who people thought. So we kind of talked about Montgomery, Crowell, Woodhead, and Riddick. Because those were kind of some of the four biggest based on our AAV that jumped out.
What was the third one?
To talk about, it was Woodhead, Riddick, Montgomery, and Crowell. Feel free to talk about any of those if that's your thing. Or if you got somebody else that you're thinking for you is even a value, not necessarily even just on our consensus rankings, whatever. Just for you, you think this?
Well, first guy I was going to say is Montgomery. I don't know. I drafted him as my RB2 in the fishbowl. And what I think is, I mean, he obviously can catch. So he's going to be out there for, he could be out there for three downs. He's going to have had work at running back now for a whole season and a whole off season to prep better. So he should be better at that. And I mean, it's a high powered offense. So I don't know why you wouldn't want a guy like Ty Montgomery check, when we've had check, Eddie, check, Eddie Lacy. Pardon?
I said, check. You can just check all the boxes. You start with a guy like him.
He's 21 bucks. Like 21 bucks. Like what? You know, that's sick. So that's pretty impressive right there. And Crowell again, another guy that, you know, I think you could start your team with Crowell, and you could have Duke Johnson on there too. And Duke could be quite valuable too. I think the whole offense should be a little bit better this year, and the whole team should be a little bit better. So he did really well last year, Crowell, and like we said, what did he say? He went for $3. So those are guys. But you know, when I look more into it too, I would like to, you know, a healthy Amir Abdullah. Could be a guy that if he can run and play well, stay on the field, he's another guy that, you know, is going to come as quite a value. He's been banged up and hasn't played a whole lot in his career yet. And he, you know, we really haven't seen what everything he can do yet. So I think that he's another guy that I think could be a good value. Todd Gurley could be a good value in the sense that, I mean, geez, last year wasn't he one of the highest price probably running backs out there, and he really let everybody down. So I think a lot of people are going to shy away from him. The only scary thing is that whole offense and that line and everything else. Like, can he, you know, physically do it because of the fact that maybe the whole team isn't very good. It could be one of those question marks. But if you can get him all of a sudden in the $30 range, that's quite a reduction from last year. Spencer Ware is another guy that I think could be quite solid. I mean, Jamal Charles isn't around at all. I don't think Charkandic West doesn't threaten him. It's just the rookie they drafted, and I really don't see that him taking over right away. Maybe he doesn't take over at all. So Spencer Ware is another, I think, really good value. Let me just scroll a little bit further down the list. I mean, those are guys that I wouldn't hesitate to start my team with them. Or if they're my RB2 or something, I'd be thrilled. I RB1 and 2, that's great.
Here we go then. So if you had a guy like Ty Montgomery as your RB1, and Spencer Ware as your RB2, or Amir Abdullah as your RB2, that's a strategy, or that's a roster configuration that
I could live with that.
Feel good about. Yep.
Yeah.
I agree. I think there's a couple guys. Like, I think Montgomery and Crowell were going to see their values climb. There's a lot of hype that's been out the last couple of weeks on those two guys. And someone asked about Crowell today because the Duke Johnson news that they're going to use him a lot as the slot receiver. And what's that do to Crowell's value? And I think we haven't seen this hype catch up to their auction prices yet. But so if you're drafting now, might want to target these guys. I'm hesitant to, I'm the same as you. I got Montgomery as my RB2 in the fishbowl. I don't know if I'll be able to afford them come August when we do our draft, the end of August, for our home league. But yes, I agree. I think those two are good values right now.
Yeah, because when you look at a lot of the running backs, especially, there's a lot of, you know, question marks, I think you could say, like, as you go down the list. And those guys, I feel strongly that they should be pretty big part of the offense. But when you look at a lot of different guys, I can't, you know, one thing that surprises me, like, and I don't think he's a bad player, but Bilal Powell, you know, he's a good player, but Forte is still there. Like, you know, that's why I don't understand why you don't even hear Forte's name out there. And I know
Bilal. Give me Forte for free versus Powell for 20 bucks. Right?
I can't pay 20 bucks for him when I could have, for 21, I could have Ty Montgomery. Like, Montgomery in the Green Bay offense versus Bilal Powell in the shitty New York Jets offense, like, that team's going to be terrible. And Forte, what's he go for? Like, next to nothing. Like, there he is. Well, maybe 10 bucks. I don't even know if he'll go for that much right now. Nobody's even talking about him. So, I don't know. I don't know about that one. I mean, I've had him before, and I don't mind him, but that just seems to be that people are really having a lot of confidence and faith in him, and that team's not that great. I mean, I was talking to a guy today about the Jets a little bit because I have one team where I have Quincy Enunwa, and I thought, you know what, he's going to be okay. But I said most of his points might be garbage time, 16 games in a row. You know, fourth quarter, you might get 88 catches for 80 in the fourth quarter when every defensive back is backed off 25 yards and just, you know, just giving up whatever. And I said, I guess at the end of the day, if he gets 8 for 80 and maybe the odd score, I'll take it, you know.
That's but
it could be my receiver 3 or flex or 4th, or, you know.
But, and that's good, because I wanted to get into receivers right now, so this is a perfect segue here. So if we switch gears a little bit to receiver, how do you think receiver is going to influence somebody's budget or a draft in general? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think there's going to be a few that are going to get, you know, cost. There's always going to be, every year, there's going to be those few guys at the top of each position or whatever that are going to cost you the most. But I would say, my gut feeling is people would love to have Antonio Brown or Mike Evans or Julio or Odell, and then AJ. And then after that, I think they're going to start saying, I could get, T.Y. Hilton for 45 if they're lucky. Or I'd rather have, you know, Terrell Pryor and Jarvis Landry for 44. You know, so I think that's where people are going to go. They're going to say, there's a lot of value here. I'm going to get a whole bunch of good receivers. Willie Snead, Julian Edelman, you know, Stephon Diggs, Pierre Garçon's in a great spot. And all these things are true. They are great. And, you know, there looks to be a lot of depth. So that's why my thinking is, I would like to have some of those guys too, but I want to anchor my team with one stud. So whether it's, you know, AJ or Mike Evans or whoever, I'd like to have him first and then, you know, go after some of these other guys that could potentially be a stud. And I think when it comes down to that kind of stuff, like for you and I, what we'll probably do is really look at, you know, how do we decide over, you know, Willie Snead or Stephon Diggs? You know, well, you look at a lot of things, schedule, who's throwing them the ball, you know, and all these other things when you're looking at all these, who's going to be your wide receiver too, because there's a lot of guys that could go for around the same price. You know, Devontae Parker is a guy that could he make the jump finally? Cameron Meredith is going to be probably pretty good, but is the offense going to be any good? So there'll be a lot of factors in there, and I think that's probably what I think people are going to try to get a lot of good receivers instead of really focusing on the one big one to go with their big time running back if they can.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt if this might be the year we see Antonio Brown go the cheapest. It won't be cheap, but it might be the cheapest, because I agree that some guy might say, I'm not paying over $60 for Antonio this year. I'll just go get Mike Evans or Julio or whatever else. I don't know. But I also agree. I love that you brought this up, because this is something I've been thinking about. Where is the cutoff? I don't want to say, I guess you could call it maybe the first tier. Where is that cutoff? And how do people feel about the receivers in that second tier? If they miss out on a top guy, are they willing to just say, screw it, I'll just buy a guy from tier two? Or are they willing to say, you know what, I'm going to buy two guys from tier four, because those guys in tier four, I think I can find two guys that score as much or more than this guy that I could get in tier two. And I think you're going to see somewhere in, you know, wide receivers 5 to 6 to wide receiver 20, a couple of massive values in your draft. And it's about, to me, knowing your draft, knowing who is comfortable kind of spreading it a little bit wider scope amongst those wide receivers, or who is that guy that was bidding really hard on Antonio, didn't get him, bid really hard on Julio, didn't get him. So, you know, he's just going to take, who's the next best guy in my rankings? Fuck this, I'm going to buy him. You know, and how can you use that to your advantage? So I think it's going to be an afterthought for a lot of people too. I think people are going to stress and really mull over what to do at running back, because, and not worry so much about receiver, because they're going to look down and say, look at this, Brandon Cooks is wide receiver 20. Golden Tate's wide receiver 23. I like all those guys. Fuck it, I can wait and grab some of those guys later, and it doesn't really matter what I do. So I'm really interested to see what happens with wide receiver, what some of the prices are.
Again, and so on that note too, if that's the way the draft is going, it just like, you know, getting Melvin Gordon early before the big names are gone, you get some of those receivers out there too. And again, people are going to think, well, I'd rather spend, you know, 65 on David Johnson than spend 50 on Antonio Brown. So I'm not going to spend my 50 right now because I can't have them both. Maybe that, you know, some people will take both of them if they can, but you know, there's going to be guys that are going to back off quicker because of the fact that David Johnson's still on the board or Zeke or Lev Bell. So they're going to back off. And then, yeah, maybe you do get an Antonio Brown that should maybe cost you 50 or 55. Maybe you get them for 48, even 47. If you did that, I mean, that's pretty good value right there.
I talked about this on Twitter a couple of days ago as something I was thinking about. And I mean, some people really love AJ Green this year, and there's obvious reasons for that. Mainly, offensive line's kind of bang, maybe non-existent. Defense could be questionable. So can they run the ball effectively? Are they going to be playing from behind? So does that mean Dalton's going to have to air it out? That means good things for AJ Green if that's the case. But I think if you, depending how you feel on Jordy Nelson too, this could apply to him. I think a prime thing to do, say you are picking, or I'm saying picking, God, Fishbowl messed me up. If you're nominating, say, fourth or something, and Antonio and Julio just went, I wouldn't hesitate, or even if just one of those guys maybe went, throw AJ Green, a guy like that, that has top five, or Jordy Nelson, might be in your top five. That, in my opinion, those guys could outproduce Julio or Evans or something like that. You could, yeah. It's the old horseshoe. And I don't know if you'll see it, or I don't know where you'll see it yet in some of the later tiers, but I feel like in that top tier, you'll get the two guys gone that somebody really wants. They're going to pay up to get those two guys, whoever they are. And then everybody else is just going to say, yeah, well, I can wait and get some other guys. I don't want to spend $50 now on AJ. I really wanted Antonio Brown, and he's gone. So I'm going to save my money and get a couple guys. And all of a sudden, that guy that's in the middle of that tier being nominated is going to be a value. And then when Odell Beckham gets nominated as the last guy, everybody's going to shift their pants a little bit. Oh, I need that elite wide receiver, man. I got to go get him now. And all of a sudden, he's $55 again. So I don't know. That's something I'm dabbling with. I'd love to do that in the later tiers, you know, tiers 2 through 4. I just have no idea where it's going to go. I kind of feel like what your best bet to do is right now, if you were drafting, was, you know, if you don't like DeAndre Hopkins, for example, or Amari Cooper or Dez Bryant, throw those guys out early. It's the old adage of get up or throw out the guys you don't want. Name value alone is probably going to make those guys go for a decent amount of cash. Let's get some money out there, and hopefully, you know, if you really like Davante Adams, people have receiver spots filled up. They've spent money. The guys that you like last a little bit longer. You can pounce on them, you know, in the fourth or fifth time through nominating, when a lot of the guys have spent money. That's kind of how I'm leaning right now. I don't know how that'll play out. I'm anxious to mock a little bit more just to see how that goes. But like you said, it's so hard. That's the one thing about mocking online is people just go down the list and start throwing out names. So it's not necessarily going to give you the feel of your – if you do a live draft, which we usually do for a lot of ours. I don't know. Something to toy with, I think.
Yeah, the mocking, it's so hard to get 12 guys there. You get some of your robots that where guys log in, and they log out after they get their first couple of guys, and then it's all robot drafting. So it's hard to get a real accurate feel for numbers. But, you know, and some strategy people might take based on that, I could see happening this year, saying, boom, I'm going to go get two stud RBs, and I'm going to go load up with, you know, decent, like you say, tier 4 wide receivers, Martavis Bryant, Willie Snead, Stephon Diggs, Golden Tate, guys like that. And it could work. You know, you never know. Like, it's like if these receivers and position players, people get hurt. So suddenly they could be potentially top 20 receivers next year, and they could have the top 2 running backs too. So it comes down to you got to have, we say it every time we talk about various budgeting and auction strategies, you have to be flexible. You got to go in and, you know, be willing to. I always go in with my tiers. I always go in with what I kind of think my original strategy is going to be, like how much I want to spend at each position, and then I break that down further. If I want to spend $90 at running back, and I'll spend $60 on my RB1, then I have an idea of what I can get for my RB 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 or whatever and stuff like that. And if I get a guy for more, then I quickly, or if it costs me more, if it costs me less, I instantly recalculate my other positions. I'll say, okay, I'm going to throw the extra couple bucks over here at this position and kind of keep tabs on it like that all the way through. And it's a good practice to get into, because then you can always be kind of aware of who's coming and what you might still be able to get for your money.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, and it was kind of going to be my next question, so I'm glad you started talking about it, is how you set up your budget. You just said, to recap, I guess, you take all your running back positions. So say, I'm assuming you're going to talk about starters mainly, but you're starting running backs, you might want to spend $80. It doesn't matter. You spend 40 at 40, 60 and 20, whatever. You just know that you have $80 to spend on that position group, right? See, and for me, I do it slightly different. I try and be more precise. I know that if I have, say, two running back starting spots, I try and pick for each one. Like, here's my RB1 move. Am I going to spend $60, for example? Well, that means I'm probably going to have David Johnson. I want to know exact players that I can slot at those price points if I can. Because I like to actually look at the names afterwards, have my budget, and then say, okay, here's a list of players that fit into all these prices, and look and say, could I live with this roster of people that realistically go in these price ranges? If the answer is no, then I kind of want to say, okay, I'm scrapping that. Where can I change it? What don't I like? Maybe I need to take money off a tight end, whatever, right? There's a million changes you could make. And I think that's where some people struggle with. To me, I think one of the big things about budgeting for people who don't have the time necessarily to do it, it's intimidating. It's here's a whole bunch of money. It's like giving somebody a shit pile of money to redo their house, and just without them really ever thinking about it, say, here's 10 grand. What are you going to buy? How are you going to allocate this to make your house more valuable? And some people might really be intimidated by what they should actually be doing with that money. So I think it's, you know, practice it, sit down, like Excel spreadsheet, pen and paper, just scribble stuff out and throw stuff away. Whenever you got time, sit down and crunch the numbers and just look and see what happens in mocks. And I don't know how to get people over that intimidating factor other than just practice. I think that's the only way you can do it. Eventually you'll become pretty fluid where you can just do it in your head. You know that, oh, if I spend $50 on a running back, your brain just knows, okay, I got to spend $30 on my wide receiver one or something like that. You just kind of intuitively know what to do. I wanted to ask you, how do you approach your bench? I know we talked about, do you do depth, do you not do depth, whatever. Do you look at, here's a set amount of money for my bench, and you fill it out accordingly? Or do you say, you know what, if I've got X amount of dollars, I want to spend 50% of that on one position. I want to make sure I got one really good bench guy and then a bunch of cheap guys. Do I want three mediocre guys and cheap guys? How do you break it down on your bench?
That's where I kind of start. I started thinking, okay, I kind of have, like you say, I have different ideas of what I want to do with my roster and what the position players, what I would get at that price. Like you said, I'll say this is my number value, so $45 for RB1. This is who I could potentially get. But I usually start by saying my easier positions. Like, okay, my quarterback, I'll budget $5. I'd probably be happy to get a dollar quarterback. Tight end, I'm budgeting 10, but I'm hoping that I only spend 6 or 7 or whatever, maybe, right? And then, but on my bench, I typically try to, I start off with budgeting $2 per position, $2 per bench spot, which isn't a lot. But what happens is it gives me a little bit of room that if I go higher on a player down the road, so say I wanted a quarterback for a 9 and it cost me 13, then all of a sudden I'll take some money away from my bench spot and I'll have more $1 guys left. If I go less and I can't spend it at other positions, then I'll add it to my bench spot later on. But typically I might start my budget off with $2 per bench spot. And, you know, it doesn't mean that each player is $2, but the last, if I have 8 bench spots, the last 4 might be $1, right? And I put the top end might have $4 or $5 player. But that's typically what I like to do anyways. And I just, because I do like to have those studs. Like we said, you're going to get guys off the waiver wire every year, you have to. So obviously they're not on your bench, and they could be the guys that are worth next year's draft, $25, $45, who knows. But you're getting that guy for basically free, or whatever your fab budget is. So I got to drop somebody off there. And if you're having every year, if guys are picking up guys off their bench, or sorry, every year, every team in the league, unless they're not competitive and they're not even paying any attention, all those guys are going to pick up players off the waiver wire, which means they're dropping somebody. So is it a player that's hurt on their starting lineup, or is it a player that's off their bench? If it's hurt, obviously it doesn't matter, but they still got that bench player. And if it's a bench player that they're dropping, well, it's so easy to drop a guy that you paid $2 for, you know, versus a guy that you got, you know, 8 guys on there and your bench costs $75. That really sucks, because that not only weakened your lineup, but now they're not even playing for you. So you really threw your money away. So I start pretty low like that, and then adjust every time I buy somebody, basically.
Yeah, okay. That's good. I mean, I definitely have to have the flexibility. I don't think there's, you know, there's no right or wrong, just like any of this budgeting stuff. There's no right or wrong way to do it. The biggest thing is build in the flexibility so that you can pull from somewhere. What that means, you know, if you throw $5 extra on your bench to start with, take it from somewhere else, a buck here and there, just so you have that flexibility. I don't know. To add to that, I think one thing I would recommend everybody do is go through and make a list of a whole bunch of $1 players that you are comfortable buying, that you think there's a reason you would want them. And I would make the number one reason upside. I don't want a $1 guy who's just kind of going to be blah and safe and done the same thing for 5 straight years. I want somebody who I think has this upside, offers something. If he hits, he hits. If he doesn't, like Lister said, you can drop his ass. It doesn't matter. It was a buck. It doesn't mean anything. So I want that upside. And hey, the best, you got to know not all of them are going to hit. So if they do, great. I mean, you're probably winning if all your upside $1 guys hit. But if they don't, then like you said, you cut them. Bye weeks, you pick somebody up. Someone gets injured, you pick somebody up, and it's no harm, no foul. But you got to be ready on those $1 guys, you know, to be able to throw them out at will. Because what's going to happen, you know, at the end of drafts, you throw out a $1 guy, someone is going to put them up for two. He's not the only guy. You're not going to be the only guy with him on your list. So you need a lot of, because you might have 4 spots left, a buck at each spot. You need to have more than 4 names, because I could throw 4 of those guys out and they go for $2 or $3 because somebody else has more money than me. So then you got to just be able to keep it going, try and get on that upside. All right. Before we go, I'm going to throw in, I want your parting words to be a couple things here. So I don't want to do this typical Bex and say anything you guys want to add, because we both are always like, yeah, whatever. So, but I do want you to add one thing. And again, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. Give us 2 players that you right now, for whatever reason, price, situation, something, you are not touching in your draft.
2 players I'm not going to touch, okay? Yeah. I am probably going to avoid Allen Robinson. I just... Is that yours?
Well, I got him in our dino league, right? But
No
wonder you didn't respond to that.
I forgot. I saw it when I was gone away, and I forgot. I forgot all about it. Sorry about that. Okay, no. Oh, geez, I had a lot more names in here that I was thinking about earlier that I would avoid at all costs.
I interrupted you, though. A-Rob, why? What's the deal?
You know what? I read the other day about just for some of the data that I had. Yeah, it was a stats breakdown too, though, and I wish I could remember where I read it. It's just one of those things, like, you know what, that's a good point, and I'm going to push him to the back of my wish list here, not somebody I'm not too interested in, but I wish I had it, but but it's obvious that, you know, you can see that this is live. Slim did put me on the spot because I can't remember what it was, so I apologize for that. But, yeah, you know, I'm concerned about that offense. I wonder if they're just going to go a little bit more run-heavy, try to, you know, get the ball out of Bortles' hands quick. And that's my second quarterback in the fishbowl, so I hope I'm wrong. I hope Bortles still is productive. But I just think that there could be more running game involved this year, and his numbers weren't wonderful last year, so I'm going to avoid him. And another one.
Got a running back, maybe, off the top of your head?
Well, I'll probably avoid Todd Gurley, like I mentioned him earlier, but I just don't know about that Rams game. You know, my last pick as a fishbowl was Malcolm Brown for the Rams, and I know you've had him, or maybe you still do have him on your... No. You don't have anymore?
Not anymore.
No. But he's a guy that is quite talented, but the thing is with Todd Gurley, it's not that I don't think the talent is there. I worry about that whole offense, and so if Todd Gurley can't get it done, it's not that I think that Malcolm Brown will. I just worry about that whole Rams offense, so I probably avoid that altogether as well. Like I said, Bilal Powell probably going to be too expensive. It's not that I don't think he's got talent. Lamar Miller is another one I probably won't touch as well. What's that? He's too expensive, I think. He'd probably be I don't know. I mean, they are a run-heavy team, but I just don't know if he can do anything there. So I'd say those guys off the top of my head. But, you know, when I look down the list, there's so many guys that are kind of a question mark for me. And, I just wonder how they'll do. Or, you know, Christian McCaffrey's going to be getting a lot of hype. But I think this next month is really going to tell us a lot about that Carolina team and what he gets to do and what he's capable of doing and how much the game plan revolves around him. Because Jonathan Stewart is still there, and Cam likes to be the hero. So I just have a hard time. I really want him to be a super stud, but I don't know. So those are some guys. How about yourself?
Well, we talked about Lamar Miller. I just think he's too expensive. He's being bought at prices right now. Entering last season, when we all thought he was the shit, and it turned out he was shit, and the offense was shit. And I have trouble buying guys. It's like your Gurley argument. Attached to subpar quarterback play. So, it's not that I don't, who doesn't agree that Gurley is talented? It's just, the team is bad. So, it's hard to pay for those guys. It's the same reason why I don't think I'll see myself owning any Leonard Fournette. I just don't know how good that offense is going to be. You can get touches. It's what scared me with the Jets. I mean, you brought it up with Powell. You talked about a non-one. I owned a non-one a couple places. I currently don't anymore. The biggest thing was, I think that, there's going to be chance for garbage time. But if your team still sucks and you can't sustain the drives in garbage time, then you're still not going to get the ball. So, like, if you have a shitty quarterback, it doesn't matter if you're getting your ass kicked or the game is close. Still might be shitty, and he might not be able to complete passes. And we've seen that in the past, you know, for various people. So I worry in offenses like that. I really don't like having high-priced players, especially tied to who I view as poor quarterbacks. So those are a couple of names for me. Receivers. I'm lower than probably most on Hopkins. I like Hopkins. I don't trust Deshaun Watson. Brandon Cooks, I probably won't own any of him. I think he's going to be too high priced, and I get scared of how many mouths there are in New England. I'm trying to think about any receivers right now that I don't really like. Tyreek Hill's a guy who I'm not high on. That'll come down to price. I'm just skeptical of these big play guys just being able to sustain that type of production with what could be low volume against better defensive focus, I guess we could say. So,
I think for injury concerns at receiver, I know Keenan Allen and Sammy Watkins, I got burned a lot by them last year. It'd have to be pretty damn good price for me to own them.
Oh.
they're bad. For
yeah. Budget. All right, buddy. Well, I don't know. That was a pretty good. I think we covered a lot of stuff. Honestly,
yeah.
We could probably sit here, guys, and talk about different running backs and strategies and things for another hour or two. And we will do that over the summer, I promise you. What I can say is, if you have questions, hit us up on Twitter, at Fantasy Auction. If you want to talk to one of us on our own, you can find Blister at Mr. Blister. You can find me at Slim4MVP. Ask us questions. We respond. when we got the time, we like being on there. Currently, we're on vacation, so we have a little bit of time to respond to people. I know we are busy with the families and stuff, but for me, it's a nice little break sometimes just to go on there and read what's going on and interact with some people and stuff like that. So, you know, best place to find us is on there. We'll try our best to answer things on the show. If you got questions, let us know on there. We'll try and answer it on the show. We like doing that. So certain topics and things, we'll touch on it, man. Anything you want to add now, I guess? I got to do it.
No, maybe we should, chat me up this week if you want to go on and do a couple mock auctions or something during the week, and let me know. We'll try to get on one together or something if you want. I think I'll be putting some more time in. If you need anything for the site or anything, let me know too, because I think most of our road tripping is done now. Kids have a sports camp this week. I might have a little bit of help out at the farm here and there, but I'll be around. So I hope to dive into this head first right away here and get putting some stuff out there that'll be helpful for everyone.
Yeah, man, the subscriptions to the draft guide have been flying off the shelf pretty quick. So, we're going to be putting some more content. I know I'm going to be writing a running back article. There's an article that should be getting dropped probably very quickly on standard scoring values versus PPR and how to take our values and move them around standard leagues and things like that. So, there's always going to be stuff coming up there. We'll be updating auction values regularly and more regularly as the summer progresses and we get more mocks going and things like that. It's going to be busy for us. So hopefully it helps you guys out and you guys kick some ass in the drafts. So with that being said, that's going to wrap it up for tonight. For Mr. Blister, I'm Slim. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next episode.